I'm Aaron Plessinger, and I choose OGO.
I'm Levi Kitchen, and I choose OGO.
I'm Malcolm Stewart, and I choose OGO.
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 Everybody, welcome to the SML Show presented by OGO Power Sports and Yamaha Motors. Today I'm joined by my friend Justin Bogle, who is fresh off of a arena cross tour across the pond.
Oh yeah.
Right? So before we get into that though, the last time you were on, you were going to head to Canada to race at Kawasaki in the Nationals up there. And then the last time I saw you, you were doing dead body endos in the hills. Remember?
Yes, and actually, I was perfectly fine on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really funny. You know, I'm supposed to know how to ride a dirt bike and how to hit jumps and stuff, but clearly.
I think you landed in like soft dirt or something.
Yeah, it was really wet. I kind of got a little wheel spin up the face, and I was like, oh, I'll just land on the side of the hill here. I'll be fine. Well, I wasn't. As soon as I landed, the bike just stuck, and I front flipped down it. I got up, and I was like, wow, okay. Everyone was sitting there watching, you know. Typical, one of those things. Can't embarrass yourself on your own, you know what I mean?
So,
yeah, I was good from that. And then shortly after that, I ended up having to crash out riding in the hill track, the super rough, least fun track you could possibly ride in Nuevo, and broke my arm. So I ended up missing that series. And been a weird couple of years for me, honestly, up until recently. I've found some stability and in a really awesome situation that I'm really enjoying now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there for a while, I was a little up in the air. I wasn't sure what to do, really.
Kind of like that. But then in the middle of it all, you got married.
I did. So, I mean, hey, it ain't all bad. You know what I mean? I got lucky there. You know, it only really works if they're too good for you, you know? So she definitely fits the bill there. So lucked out.
Yeah, I think my hashtag is God bless the settlers.
Hey, man, she, my wife just, I don't know. She just hasn't figured it out yet. You know what I mean? So it's all good, though. Hey man, all things considered, life can go however it's going. I'm blessed.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, how did the opportunity with the Stark Future guys come out?
So the Stark thing was interesting how it worked because I was kind of just bouncing around and doing random stuff just to kind of stay busy. I was just really bored. I wasn't sure what to do with my life. You know, that transition from racing full-time your whole life to what's next is tough for everybody, you know? So I was trying to figure it out, and I'd raced Dortmund in Germany, kind of. I didn't make it through the first heat race, but I raced Dortmund a year and a half ago-ish, a year ago. And I'd seen Sebastian Tortelli there and talked to him a little bit, and he had mentioned something about like, hey, what do you got a deal for like next year? What are you doing? I was like, well, nothing, man. I'm just kind of taking it as it comes. We'll see. And he said, okay, we should talk. And obviously I had been hearing that he was involved in the Stark Future program. So long story long here, you know, almost a year goes by, and then the opportunity came up to go do, I did like a 5-week contract with the guys to just go over to Spain and test, and was going to race a couple of things, maybe Paris, a couple of things like that. We didn't get approved for it. So I was like, all right, this is cool. Either way, just did a lot of testing, a lot of riding, and luckily for me, I really, really enjoyed it, and I loved riding the motorcycle. It was really fun, exciting, something new. I got along really well with everyone at the team. They're all good people. It was really fun and inspiring, I guess, to be in that situation at like a startup that feels like everyone's just so excited, you know, and everyone feels like they've got skin in the game, and everyone wants it to work because they believe in it, you know? And that was awesome. So luckily I got along with everyone and everyone got along with me fine, far as I know. And ended up shortly thereafter signing a 2-year deal with those guys to kind of just, you know, race where we can. You know, I did the UK Arena Cross Series, which I had a blast doing. Struggled a little bit. I didn't really ride for about 2 months before the first round until first practice. So, you know, that was interesting. It got better as the short season went on, but it was just really fun.
Yeah.
You know, and we're racing wherever we can. The next thing we're doing is the French Supercross Tour. So do that. And yeah, it's kind of still just taking it as it comes as far as where we can race and all of that. But a lot of my role is honestly testing development kind of stuff. Like, I mean, it's been years since I've done this, but I was riding, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, you know, 10 to 6. And crazy as it sounds, I couldn't have been happier. You know, I was just having so much fun, and it was so fun to really engage the brain again and be like, okay, I need to figure this out, because, you know, it's so different that it's tough to know where to go until you start to learn it. You know, you got to take her to dance before you ask her to marry you. You know what I mean? So it's like, I was getting used to it and enjoying it, really having fun with the group of guys I had around me. My mechanic is a good kid, and he rips too when he rides. And I'd actually met him when I did Barcelona Supercross back in 2020, maybe. And he was just a kid coming up for Packy Mage stickers and just pumped, right? And it's so cool now that, like, he's a friend, you know, and works on my stuff. We're at the races together. It's fun. So it's been really, really, really interesting, but also so damn enjoyable just being able to be a part of something new that I believe in and I love being a part of.
Mm-hmm. How old are you now, Justin?
I just turned 31
a
week ago. So, yeah, I'm getting old, man.
Okay, no, that's not old. But back in the day, like the McGrath era, right, where John Dowd was the old dog, you know, the super old guy. I can't believe that guy's still racing or winning championships in his 30s, right? These days, guys race much later. But for you, had the Stark thing not come along, was retirement on the table or from full-time racing? Or
yeah, I think, I mean, once you take a year and a half out of racing at the highest level, I mean, it's a hard sell trying to get a job and also being competitive, you know. And the whole reason why I wasn't doing it then when I did stop was because I wasn't competitive anymore, you know. Whatever the factors were, you know, is what it is, but I was just struggling, so I wasn't really super interested in putting myself through all the work and everything you have to do to be at the front competing for free, and also for, you know, maybe not the best situation. You know what I mean? Like, I was very fortunate to be on factory machinery for a decade, and when you fall off of that train there, it's hard to get back on, you know. So, and I'm just being realistic. Like, I mean, I had a, you know, I'm thankful for the career that I had. It didn't go as good as I would have thought at the first, but no one's really does, right? So I'm thankful for the career I had. It's, I'm happy where I'm at. There's more to life, they say, you know what I mean? But this is all I care about. This is all most of us care about, right? So for me, I do pretty much everything. Like, if I'm going to do it, I like to dive in, and I'm like, I'm all in. I got a lot of that ADHD energy that I need somewhere to focus it, you know? And I don't like halfway doing stuff. So I was having a hard time finding something that I wanted to put all my time and energy into. Some other things that kind of come up, but nothing that was really like had me excited until the Stark thing came up. When that came up, it was at first like, okay, yeah, we'll go see, you know? How do you know unless you say yes to things, right? You say yes to things, you go try it. Maybe you love it, maybe you don't, but at least you tried it. I went over there and I had such a blast that, like I said, man, I've been fortunate, but it had been a weird couple of years there, year and a half or 2 years or so. So I was due for a hit at some point, you know, base hit at least. So it was nice to have something come through where I just enjoyed it. I was not going to race anymore in the U.S., let's be honest. Yeah. I'd have to race a 450 and, you know, I'm old, married now, like I got bills, you know what I mean? Like, I can't just keep doing the thing that I did my whole 450 career, which is like, even, which probably wouldn't have even happened nowadays, but at the time, I rode for free a lot, you know? I just wanted good equipment, good team, good situation, and I don't regret any of that, you know? It's what I felt I needed to do, put me in a good position to do well, but yeah, not going to go out there as a privateer at my age, and I mean, not going to get anything out of it. So time to move on and find something else. And luckily, by the grace of God, we found something. You know, it's me and Colt were talking the other day, man. You just keep waking up, doing your thing, and trying, and eventually things always seem to work out, you know, for some reason.
Yep. Yep. All right, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Back for more. Everyone, welcome back to the SML Show presented by OGO Power Sports and Yamaha Motors. Justin, what was your last AMA professional race?
Moto One at Hangtown in 2022. So I did the Supercross season for the HEP Twisted T Suzuki team. Mm-hmm. And I love those guys. Like, some of the best people, like human beings that I've dealt with in the sport. Mm-hmm. Just such good people. I was dealing with a lot that year. There was a lot going on personally and things like that, and they were so good to me, trying their best to make it work. It had just been a while since there's been development on the motorcycle, so we were trying, and it's so cool to see what they're doing now, and getting someone like Kenny, who's high profile, so high profile that it brings a lot more to the table for everyone involved. So loved seeing that for those guys. The Pipes family, awesome people. That being said, that whole year I was looking back on it, I think I was already kind of checking out a bit mentally. Mm-hmm. Like, I was struggling. I mean, I whole shot a couple races, and I got, you know, my best finish was like a seventh or an eighth. It's like, you know, at the time it should have felt like, okay, that's cool. Like, we'll take that. But it's hard when you've done well in the past and feel like, all right, if I whole shot, like, come on, dude, I should be able to at least will myself to a whatever, right? But mm-hmm. It just wasn't happening. Like, I mean, straight up, I just wasn't good enough at the time. So by the time Outdoors came around, I was really struggling, and I was just like, I pulled off first moto, barely scored points at Hangtown, and I told the guys, Clark Jones at the time, I told Clark, I was like, I love you guys, and I do not want to put y'all in a weird position, but you guys have to give the ride the opportunity to somebody else, because right now, like, I'm not the guy to do it. You know, I'll be straight up honest with you. I can't really be competitive right now, and I don't feel like wasting everybody's time and my own. Mm-hmm. And I see all the work everyone's doing, you know, and it's hard for me to see everyone put in that much work and me not be able to deliver anything, mm-hmm. you know? So, and then, you know, they did, and it was all good. They were fully okay with it, you know? And I mean, I still, every time I had a race, I'm in their truck a lot, you know, hanging out. Yeah. So yeah, that was the last pro race for me. It's weird, unless you're Jeremy McGrath, you don't really announce a retirement, right? It's not, what am I retiring from? I'm just not racing anymore, you know? Like, I mean, I've won like a couple races my whole career. It's not like you need to have a retirement. That's always kind of weird. It's like, I don't know, I'm just not racing this year.
You go up to the dirt diggers, go, I'm gonna do a parade lap on the second one.
Yeah. Everyone be like, who's that guy? Didn't he win something like 10 years ago?
But, all right, so you mentioned like there was times when you rode for free. Was that what the deal was there? And so you were like, hey, I'm going to walk away from this?
Actually, no. I mean, it wasn't great money for sure, but they were paying me. And credit to them. Like I said, they're great people, man. I never signed the contract with those guys, mm-hmm. but they paid me every month on time. Just that's how they are, you know? Yeah. So, I don't have much negative to say about them or that season at all, just besides the fact of personally, like that was just kind of all on me. You know, I was struggling with the bike at the time and whatever, but a lot of it was just me kind of not being in it as much as I had always been, you know, at that level. You know, I still want to ride and train every day. I love it, but I also, if I'm doing it, I want to be able to be at least competitive, you know? And when I wasn't, it was like, man, I'm doing a lot, spending a lot, I'm doing all this and it's just not working. And it hadn't been for a couple of years, you know? Mm-hmm. Kind of never really bounced back fully from that concussion that I'd had in 2020. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I came back, I gave it a shot from there, and you know, there was time where I wasn't going to, so I had to at least do that for myself and see, you know, I got to see if I still got it or if I, you know, I can be done when I want to be done rather than just because I'm scared of getting hurt or something. Yeah.
What was it like flying home from Hangtown, knowing that you had closed a chapter?
Really, it was a strange feeling, you know, because it's kind of a surreal feeling, especially because I think for me, it wasn't expected by anyone or myself. You know, I wasn't really planning on it. It's like, it was weird. In that first moto, like halfway through it, I just knew. I was like, I'm not even gonna ride second moto. Like, I'm done. Like, this is closing this chapter, this book, and I'm figuring out something else. Cause it was so strange. Like, I guess, you know, yeah, it's like meeting your wife, right? You know, when you know, you know. You know, I thought I was gonna race for a long time, you know, further than I did, but I don't know, I just kind of weird feeling. I kind of knew I was just done with that highest level competitive racing that I was doing at the time. So yeah, kind of surreal, but a lot was going on at that time too. Like, I actually had got married in Vegas the weekend before Hangtown. So, you know, sweet honeymoon there at Sacramento, California, or wherever we were. So yeah, there's a lot going on. So kept me busy, but yeah, it's always a weird thing kind of stopping something that it's all you've lived for a long time, you know?
Yeah.
It's the only thing you care about. It's what woke you up in the morning for 10, 12 years. So strange, but like I said, man, through all of it, somehow I landed somewhere on my feet and couldn't be more grateful because, I mean, my friends will tell you, I'm not good at that much. So it's nice that I can still do something I love.
What were the options going through your head between the injury that caused you to miss the Kawasaki Canada deal and between when the Stark opportunity popped up?
Honestly, like, not a lot. I was doing the World Supercross stuff for MDK, so it was keeping me somewhat busy, but I wasn't really able to train and prepare for it, so I was just doing terrible. Felt like, again, I'm like, dude, I'm just wasting my time. Like, I'm not really able to, you know, practice riding Supercross before I go race this thing. So kind of just showing up and seeing what I could do. And it just wasn't that fun doing that, you know? So, I mean, it was nice to have a job for, you know, a month or two out of the year, but the rest of the year I was, you know, pulling my hair out. I had done some stuff where I never thought I'd be into it, but dude, I've had so much fun kind of coaching and helping out some of the younger guys, and even Colt, he asked me to go to the track with him all the time. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy that, man. Like I said, I never thought I would, but I'm actually like, I really enjoy it. You know, it's fun for me, you know? So especially like some of the kids are good kids, you know, like Colt Davies, right? One of Will's kids. Like, mm-hmm. If Will can't go or he's out of town, like he'll ask me if I can go to the track with him, and I have a blast. You know, he's such a good kid and he's so good. But he also listens and respects what you have to say, and that makes it fun. So that's definitely something that I'm kind of doing a little bit more of. And, you know, only other thing besides riding and training for myself that I've found actually enjoyable, mm-hmm. you know, that I want to waste my time on. So, you know, other than that, hey, who knows, man? Where the wind blows, I guess, is where we're going.
Yeah. We're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors. Back for more. Welcome back to the SML Show presented by OGO Power Sports and Yamaha Motors. All right, I'm going to talk electric now. When you got approached to do it, were you like, or were you just like, heck yeah, I want to try this new thing out? Because, I mean, realistically, there was the Alta, right? And then there's these Suron things that I hate. But Stark Future is basically creating a whole new category. And for them to have produced a bike from the get-go that is as good as it is, it's pretty amazing, I think. But what reservations did you have going into the first ride or going overseas for the first time? And what expectations did you have?
I didn't really have any expectations. But that being said, honestly, whenever they came out and I was seeing all the stuff about them, I talked to Jimmy Button, my agent, who's been my, I mean, I say agent, I don't know if I make him any money hardly anymore, but you know, he's been my guy for a very long time, my whole career. So called him and I was like, dude, if there's an opportunity there, like, I would love to do that. That looks so fun. Mm-hmm. And then kind of, you know, you go about your life and things go on. And then I actually had the opportunity to ride one to try it out. The morning before I went up to the LASMX round, I was going up there to hang out with Colt and, mm-hmm. and Rankin and wear a headset and act like I was doing something. And I rode it out of Paula and I was like, dude, this is like, I'm laughing while I'm riding it. Like, I'm just like, I haven't had this much fun doing something that I've done for 25 years in so long. It was just so fun, you know, like that's, I was like, dude, whether I'm faster or not, I don't care. I'm having a blast. So after that is when I called the guys and I was like, look, if that offer's still on the table to do this, like, you know, 5-6 week thing, like, let me know when and where and I'll do it. Like, I would love to see how it is. Then the next time I rode it was on a brand new Supercross track in front of the whole team and all the stuff. So
in Spain,
you know, we'll leave that to the imagination on how that went. And I promise you, it didn't go great. I looked like an idiot, but luckily with Seb being there, he's multi-time world champion, really, really bad dude. And also just a nice guy. And he just kept telling me, it's fine. It takes a while. Like for Supercross, you know, it's just different. You have muscle memory for 25 years, you know, you gotta kind of relearn it. Day two, I know me and the wife went back to the hotel and I was like, that was so embarrassing. I'm like, there was like a couple big rhythms, like a 3-3-4. And it was like, all right, I was doubling through the whole thing, mind you, not even tripling anywhere. And I got back to the hotel. I was like, that was so embarrassing. I was like, lap 3 tomorrow, I'm jumping that whole thing. So I went out and just forced myself, jumped everything. And then I was like, fine. I was fine after that.
Yeah.
I was just a little like gun shy at first, you know, I hadn't been riding Supercross, all that, but yeah, man, it was just right off the bat, just fun to ride it, mm-hmm. you know? And then once I met everyone at the factory and at the company, I was like, okay.
They're the coolest guys.
All right. These guys are awesome. I feel like I would fit in well here, you know, personality wise, like there's no clashing. I walk up to the, where the bosses are at the factory and I just sit on the desk and hang out. Can hang out in there for a long time and it never feels weird. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get that often, you know, it's pretty awesome and everyone rides and a lot of them are pretty good. You know what I mean? Like that makes it really enjoyable too. And they kind of can relate a little bit better. And yeah, I don't know, man, I had a blast. I just will go to the shop when I'm over there and just, you know, sit down with the engineers and just be like, hey, what about, explain this to me. Like, what does this mean? And then like, yeah, what if we tried this? And they're like, okay. And then, dude, next thing you know, a week later, they have it for me to try. And I'm like, dude, there's a lot of teams you'd be on and, you know, actually racing that you can't get that kind of, you know, I guess not support, but I mean, support for sure. But they just like want to be successful as well, you know, which is why I believed in the company, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, this thing is going to work because these guys, they're going to make it work, you know, and I think you have to have that at any startup or, you know, like I said, working with some of these younger kids, if they don't have that where they want it more than you want it for them, it's not going to happen. You know, I can think the bike's as cool as I want, but the whole company's got to want it to work for it to work. It's tough space to jump into, man. Like, you know, it's a company that's small, very small relative to the big dogs. So it's been very impressive what they've done so far. And yeah, I'm pumped to be a part of it and, you know, kind of get in closer to ground floor on something and kind of be a part of the brand, you know, it's really awesome. But yeah, straight off the bat, I think I was more interested in it than they were in me at the beginning. So, hey, all works out.
You know, you said you're riding and you're like laughing, right? So we got invited to go to Barcelona to go test it at Golf MX. And so I took Rene Garcia, our pro test rider. And to be totally honest, I was not excited to go, right? One, I get kind of freaked out about doing bike tests in other states, let alone another country, right? I don't want to be in a hospital. But I had ridden the Alta previous to that, and I hated the Alta. So I was like, God, I don't want to ride this thing. I'll just go and take photos of Rene. And then I rode it, and I was like, wow, this thing is really cool. And, you know, learning a new bike, a whole new category of bike, and learning a new track, I was so scared of the jumps and everything. But then they gave us the second opportunity to ride a gas bike, right? So they had like every brand 450, so I jumped on a Husky. And I did some of the jumps on the Husky that I didn't do in my first mode on the Stark. And then my second mode on the Stark, I did all the jumps, ones I deemed do on the Husky, right? But it was a lot of it was I was talking to Rene, like going, hey, that one big downhill jump, equate it to a 450. What gear and what throttle sound? And then there is a sound in the Stark. You hear that little whirring. So it's all relative. You get used to it. But everyone that asks me about it, I go, it's just different. Like, I have a friend who sold all his gas bikes because he got a Stark. But like, you know, for me, I have to test 14 different bikes a year or whatever. But like, I'm not going to replace everything with this. But it's an awesome choice, an option, right? And they're like, well, what's it like? I go, it's like the same sport, but different. It's like stand-up jet ski versus a sit-down. The sit-down's like way more fun because it's easier, right? But I mean, there's so many things about the Stark that put a smile on my face. And it sounds like that's the same for you.
Same for me, man. Honestly, it's cool to hear that because it's what I feel. And anyone that's ridden my bike, you know, when we've been out at the track or something, it says the same thing. And when I first went over there, I was testing all week on the Stark and then going and racing a KTM 250. You know, could be, I guess, part of why I did so bad. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I'm so confused. But even I had ridden someone's gas bike the other day, like when they were riding mine before, I guess I came back for a couple of days in between races. And I rode theirs for a little bit, and I'm like, and it's a good bike. And I'm like, dude, get me off this. I want mine back. I'm like, this thing's vibrating. It's so much. It's loud. It's like, I got to shift it every half a foot. I'm like, dude, my bike is so much more fun.
Yeah.
So much more fun to ride. I was like, give me that thing back. And the cool thing about our bikes too is, dude, we were racing, I mean, it's not US Supercross, mind you, but it's still, you know, is the Arena Cross series over there, which very legit tracks and series, way better than I expected. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty much riding stock bikes with suspension, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you couldn't really do that and feel good anywhere, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't winning, but it was
your teammate won the title.
Yeah, exactly. My teammate Jack Brunell won, and it was awesome to see. I was so pumped for him because he's been trying for so long and he's a good dude and just had a blast with everybody. But learning the motorcycle, I mean, for me, I was testing something every time the gate dropped, you know? So for me, it wasn't as much on that as much as me trying to get the bike ready for future, you know, because eventually this thing, you know, hopefully will be ready and be able to be used in, you know, races that are over here, you know, and there's a lot of work to be done before then for Supercross, but jumping on outdoors, so much fun.
Yeah. I know that you were in the 250 class, right? Or was it 450?
450, yep.
But where did you have your horsepower set?
For the longest time, I ran it at 55, but now I'm at 60. Now that because at first, like I said, I went over there and I did the first round without riding for like 2 months. Mm-hmm. So I was a hazard on the track, I'll be honest. But now I'm 60 and I'm running 60 and then the regen at 50. So kind of still playing with that part of it, but 60 is where they cap us for 450 class.
Okay.
And for me, now that I'm used to it, it's nice to just have it there if I want it or not. I have a different software for my throttle so that it's a little smoother throttle delivery, which the cool thing about the Stark is the customer service is incredible with those guys, right? You just contact them and they can do it remotely from Barcelona. They can give you the same throttle mapping,
right?
You know, they can give you, it's nuts.
Yeah, because we have I'm fortunate, right? Like, there's no press bikes yet with Start. So I wanted to get one. So my friend Miles at TIS Wheels, he's the guy who bought one and sold his gas bikes, right? But he's like, you want one too? Put my logos in your videos. So he bought us one. So, you know, I'm a consumer and I'm a customer. And the customer service is unreal. And it blows my mind that they can go, well, turn your bike on. And I go turn on and they diagnose it from Barcelona to Corona, right? But I mean, oddly enough, as dumb as it is, I broke my front wheel because I didn't check the spokes enough. They sent me a new wheel with a tire on it in 2 days from Spain. That had to cost like more than the wheel cost, right? But they want to take care of the customers. It's pretty amazing.
That's another cool thing is the whole eventual model, I'm sure, of the direct-to-consumer thing is, you can look at it a few different ways, but for me, I'm like, dude, that is so awesome, because in what other situation in any company are you going to have a direct line to the company? Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's so cool. And that does show a lot too, because yes, they did that for you, but they're not just doing that for you. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, your customer, they're doing that for everybody, you know? So, I mean, I didn't have a bike at first because for a while, till I started racing and went to Spain, because they would have had to jump the line with someone in production. And we were like, don't do that. Like, you know, I'll be fine. I can wait, mm-hmm. you know? So they care a lot about the customer. And that's so important because, you know how it is. You don't get that. It doesn't matter if you're racing or what it is in life. You don't get that often. So that's a huge plus as well, you know? But yeah, like I said, it's tough not to just think about riding the thing and just smile because, and I know what I sound like, guys. I know. I sound like I'm up here, you know, dancing and trying to sell stuff, but I'm not paid to sell it. I'm paid to test the thing.
Yeah.
It's just so fun, dude. Like, anyone could ride it. My dad hasn't ridden in a long time because riding a, you know, a normal bike is just, I don't know. It's not as fun. You got to work on it. He would ride this, mm-hmm. you know, and have a blast. Like, one of my best friends, Brad Frace, his feet don't work that great. You know, he gets around good these days, but his feet don't work that great. This is perfect.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to shift. You know, it's awesome. There's so many positives to it. And after we started racing, guys started to realize all the pushback of like, yeah, but we can't hear you. And valid concerns. I understand it's different. I understand taking our time here. It's the best move. But once we got a few races in, it was like, it's just a normal bike. Mm-hmm. You know, it's better in some areas. It's not there yet in some areas, but it's a motorcycle. You know, it's same, different. I kept equating it to almost, people don't understand how much of a difference going to a four-stroke was and a two-stroke, but it was huge. Like, you can stop, dead stop, at the bottom of the berm, hit the triple and do a whip if you want nowadays in first gear.
Yeah.
You know, the factory 250 two-strokes, you had to rip the turns to jump the jumps.
Yeah.
Like, it was that much different. Guess what? Racing didn't die. It's as cool as it's ever been. It just, things progress, stuff happens, especially when it's more convenient. There's less maintenance and less work. I mean, you hear a lot of talk about trying to figure out how do we get people interested in this stuff again, like mm-hmm. it was in the 70s, 80s, 90s. That's pretty good way to do it. You know, make it more fun and easier to work on. Takes out a lot of the stuff that makes it difficult to get new people involved in it. And it does make a sound. You can hear it. You know, but it also is quiet enough that you can ride it almost anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a huge plus. So I grew up with a track at my house, and we lived in the country, but neighbors were close. And there's times when it was a little bit of an issue, right? Would never be a problem with this thing. Mm-hmm. And that's just awesome. Kids growing up riding Stasics when they're 2 years old, now they're riding those KTM electric 50s, mm-hmm. you know, Cobra, other brands are making them. Eventually, that's kind of just the way it's going to be. Kids are going to grow up on that, and that's what they're going to like, rather than, you know, the way we all grew up. PW50 can only be the bike you ride for 40 years before something new has to happen, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's awesome. I think progress is a beautiful thing, because without it, everything ends up dying, right? Mm-hmm. It has to progress. Things have to change. That's life, you know? It's the only constant that there is, right? And human beings naturally push back on change. I'm one of them. I get it. But big thing especially like with the Stark, right? I hear all the stuff. Just write it.
Yeah.
Then if you want to tell me whatever, go ahead. But just write it first. Anyone that I've been around that rode one, they're like, all right, yeah, it's just, this is cool. I get it.
Right on. Well, hey, man, we're out of time, but thank you for coming in. You've always been a big supporter of everything that our team has done.
Always, man, always. So happy 5 years, by the way.
Hey, thank you.
You know, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Love
Went
it.
From not knowing what we were doing to
I knew. Here we are now. I knew you'd be all right. you got a good group of guys, and you guys figure it out one way or another, you know? It's cool.
Right on. Thanks, dude. Looking forward to the next 2 years with you.
Yep.
And guys, thanks for checking out the SML show. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.